The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president begins this week. I'm former U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara, and this week, legal expert Ricky Kleeman joins me on my podcast, Stay Tuned with Preet. We talk about jury selection, the latest trial developments, and legal strategy.
From the defense point of view, for Donald Trump to be signing checks for Michael Cohen, it would have been something usual, because Michael Cohen was working for the Trumps.
The episode is out now. Search and follow Stay Tuned with Preet wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Hey, we're live, pal. Welcome, everyone, to a special Tuesday edition of the A-Side Live here on MMAFighting.com. I am, of course, your host, Jose Young. For those of you wondering, we're doing this on Tuesday because tomorrow, Wednesday, is Media Day, and we are having a lot of interviews and a lot of press conferences. So we figured we'd do this Tuesday so this doesn't get buried by the UFC Fight Island 5 Media Day. We're also getting a more ESPN analyst. So it's going to be a long day, and I imagine no one's going to want to watch a podcast as soon as our streaming of Media Day is done. So we're bringing this to you a day early, but no one cares about me. We want to talk to the people who are going to be a guest on this show. Of course, Casey Lydon on the ones and twos producing over in Englewood. He is, of course, up to good in Englewood. And the man of the hour, the one that I was very excited to bring back, the tallest man in MMA media, Guilherme Cruz, all the way in Brazil. He did the last Fight Island trip. I'm doing this Fight Island trip. I'm still in Abu Dhabi. Gui, how's life down in Brazil?
It's not as hot as Abu Dhabi, I can assure you that.
I guarantee, I do not doubt that. It is about 6,000 degrees over here. My phone has already overheated twice. The second time it overheated, my SIM card fried, and now I am without a SIM card all the way in Abu Dhabi, and I can't get a new one delivered because we can't get mail for the next 2-3 weeks. But regardless, we want to hear from the people. Casey, you know the drill. If anyone wants to ask questions, they can ask on Twitter. They can ask on the site. They can leave it in the YouTube comments. Of course, Casey is monitoring for fun questions. Anything and everything is up for debate. Casey, what is our first question?
Just seeing if I'm in focus.
Hopefully I can read these this time. I got some excellent Abu Dhabi Wi-Fi. That's true.
Reading is overrated.
I don't get Esther's lovely narration this time.
Oh, no.
When she reads the questions.
All right, here we go. First question.
Hopefully I can read this. What do you think from Terrence Leverett on Twitter? Apologies if I mispronounce your name. What do you think of the idea of people using Submission Underground as a way for a cross-promotional match or a match between a champ and a contender? For example, Rose versus Dern or B versus Hamzat. It would help build future fights, too, I think, as well. Hashtag the A-side. So what do you both think of possible cross-promotion fights, or I shouldn't say fights, matches in Submission Underground, Chael Sonnen's submission-only promotion, which is still holding events in the middle of the pandemic? He's been holding events in the middle of the pandemic. Gail, start with you. What do you like the idea of these either A, cross-promotional fights or matchups between weight classes that we won't get to see actually inside the octagon?
Yeah, I love that. I have covered jiu-jitsu and submission for years before focusing only on MMA here, on MMA fighting. And I love when you got a big UFC name, big Bellator name, fighting each other in submission events. I don't know how much that helps in the MMA world, like, let's say Michael Chandler when in Bellator fights someone for the UFC and submits him, how much does this stock goes up in the MMA world? But as a fight fan, I'd love to see that. So I'm always in.
Casey, what do you think? You've covered all an array of martial arts in your day. You actually train. You know a lot of fighters in Bellator, a lot of fighters in the UFC, a lot of fighters in ONE and Rizin, PFL, all these things. What do you make? What do you like the idea of cross promotional matches, or even matches between weight classes to build fighters in the UFC, or any promotion, as a matter of fact?
Yeah, I would. After Izzy destroyed Costa in MMA. Of course, if it was possible, yeah. In a couple weeks, I would love to see Izzy versus Costa in a submission match. Why not? I mean, it's just ridiculous fun. It's a completely different sport, and I'd love to see like mismatches too, like to see who is like a grab, say Holly Holm versus Mackenzie Dern in jiu-jitsu, like. No, just like, why not? You know,
I would strongly favor Mackenzie Dern. She's already faced.
Well, that's what I mean. Like,
she's already submitted Gabby Garcia.
But that's why I want to see, because we're never going to see those in MMA. So why not? It's fun. Doesn't mean anything. Hopefully the fighters will get some money. Now, I don't know how much money there is in the sport jiu-jitsu like that, especially for MMA fighters coming over. But yeah, it's fun. I don't think it really means anything. As far as like,
if we're doing goofy sizes against goofy sizes, I would love to see like Ben Rothwell against like Charles Oliveira, something outrageous.
But Ben Rothwell was actually good at jiu-jitsu. Tai Tuivasa versus Charles Bronx Oliveira, something like that. Just like a guy just not like, known for his jiu-jitsu versus a much smaller person who's known for like
Ryan Hall versus. Gorgonzaki.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
Ronnie Yaya versus Brock Lesnar. Make it happen.
Yeah. Two Ronnie Yayas versus Brock Lesnar.
That would be the most, just thinking about that, that would be the most ridiculous thing. Just the most unimposing fighter I've ever seen in Ronnie Yaya versus Brock Lesnar. Or as Joe, we've had Shorty Torres on a bunch of times, obviously, and he said he trains with, whenever he trains with Ronnie Yaya, he just feels demoralized at the end of every practice. Like he was basically drowned for like hours on end, and then he just feels so frustrated he just leaves practice.
Oh,
so I would love to see it. You love to see it.
Look what we just got. Look at this one.
Tony Ferguson versus Fabricio Verdum. That's the match to make.
Angle pick. We already know how this ends, Keyboard Warrior. Angle pick. Why even waste our time? Job,
Keyboard Warrior.
Nice try. We don't know how this ends. Job. Angle pick. All right, so I think the answer is for Mr. Leverett. It is fun. Don't know how much it actually means, but eh. Oh, man, so me.
I would love it. Lesnar versus Mighty Mouse is the real money. I mean, two Mighty Mouses versus a Brock Lesnar. I'd like that.
Yeah. This is.
That would be fun.
okay.
Anthony Johnson versus Mighty Mouse.
It's just everyone versus. If you're bigger than Mighty Mouse, which is everyone, yeah, face him on the mats. I just want to get a little shout out for our Crystal
Hi
Crew.
Hi, friends with a bunch of S's from Jessica Crystal Crew. What up, Jessica?
Too many S's. Jeez.
I've had a lot of conversations, shockingly, about crystals here in Abu Dhabi. Chelsea, the UFC PR team, is a firm believer, and I'm sure you know Steve, the security guard. That is one of the most imposing men I've ever seen in my entire life. You know the big guy?
Yeah.
The British guy, Security Steve. She tried to sway him into believing in crystals, and he's like, yeah, I also believe in Santa Claus and Easter Bunny, and he just walked away, and I was like, damn, man, that was cold.
He's a believer. He's just in denial. He doesn't know. He's just trying to play it cool.
That's what I like to say.
Yeah. Here we go.
From Kuningas on the YouTube comments. Hello, Kuningas here. Short time commentator. I don't know what that means, but a question. What is your hipster-wise favorite fighter? Like the fighter who is kind of underground, I think that? Underground? I don't quite know what that means. Like, what's our hipster-wise favorite fighter? Casey, do you have a hipster-wise favorite fighter? Seems like you put a lot of thought into this, and I have no idea what this question even means.
Yeah. Well, I want to say Ryan Hall. I mean, I think that's what he's going for, something like that.
I'll
like,
answer for you. You're a big Loma Luke.
Oh, yeah. Loma fan. I like Loma a lot.
Big Loma fan.
Oh, I'm such a fan of her. She just got signed by the UFC, and I forgot her name. She was the Invicta strawweight champ, the new one. I can't forget her name. The little Japanese wrestler girl.
Can't remember. So is this just a fighter that we're a big fan of that not a lot of people know?
That's what I would assume what he means. Oh. That's by that, like, you know, who do I like that's not cool to be into? Oh, you know what? Freak it. I'll say it right now. He's fighting this weekend. Ben Rothwell. I love Ben Rothwell. He should be the
who
most
doesn't
popular.
Like Ben Rothwell?
Why isn't Ben Rothwell? Okay. Who was the co-main event last week? Just some. Yeah, Castro and Felipe. Yeah, but Ben Rothwell, like, he's a much more famous fighter, much more well known, much better. Where is he on the card?
He's under the co-main.
Which is, yeah, Ben Rothwell. That's my hipster wise favorite fighter.
Who's in the co-main event? Edson Barbosa.
Yeah.
And Mark Juan Americani. That fight rules though.
No, but Ben Rothwell.
I don't have a problem with that.
Both those guys, Ben Rothwell and Tiber, are both higher ranked than Barbosa and Americani.
Yeah, but Marcin Tybura has been in some, as I call them, table fights a lot. Has been in a lot of table fights lately. I don't know if they want to put that in the co-main event. I think Barbosa.
Did you just see what they put in the main event in the co-main last week, man?
Yeah, and what did I say in the preview show that I got all the heat for?
You said it rules. You said you love that fight so much. All right, next question.
Yeah, that's what I said. I was like, this fight rules so much, it's going to be a guaranteed fight. No, I'm pretty sure I was the only one that said that fight was going to be a stinker. I got a lot of heat for it.
What? I thought that was pretty much assumed that fight was going to be a stinker. Unless that fight made it past 30
Casey,
seconds.
You were there on the preview show. Go watch the preview show. I'm pretty sure I was the only one that said that. Actually, no, I'm the only one that said that. Anyway, what's the next question? Actually, Guy, who's a fighter that you're a big fan of that not a lot of people know?
I mean, a lot of people know him, but he doesn't fight that often, so people sometimes forget about him. Gron Gracie.
Ooh, that's a good answer.
He never fights. No one ever talks about him. So, yeah. But I love the guy. I love watching fights.
Wow, that's a really good answer. I know Bryce Mitchell called him out. I would have loved that fight. So did Herbert Burns. I was shocked that when Cron Gracie won on the Arizona card in February, that they didn't stick him on the same card as Amanda Nunes, Raquel Pennington. That was in Brazil, because that was like a few months later. I thought Cron Gracie in Brazil was like made too much sense.
Yeah, but he wasn't really into this idea in fighting. Yeah. I don't know why. Yeah, could be a Texas thing because it's some. It's a lot expensive for someone who lives in the U.S. to fight in Brazil. They lose a lot of money. So that could be it.
That's true. Would he be a really big deal in Brazil if he fought?
Yeah. Especially in Rio. It would be a big deal. Because his father lives here. Just a few miles away from the arena. So it would be a big deal if he fought here and won. There's a lot of Gracie gyms in Rio that would sold out easily for him.
And you know Hickson would be there, which would be even more special.
Yeah.
Let's make it happen. I don't even know if he even has a fight. I see him training, but I don't know if he has a fight.
The next UFC Rio in 2025. He's going to be back.
There you go. Let's make it happen.
Yeah. Kanako Murata. That's the fighter I'm thinking of. She just got signed by the UFC. I think she's fighting Livia Souza. Livia Rata Souza.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't Souza call out Mackenzie Dern?
She calls her every night. Yeah.
A few times, yeah.
I think everyone's called out Mackenzie Dern.
Yeah, you're right. He's just fighting Livia. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. I'm very excited about her.
The number one Harry Potter fan, the UFC, Livia Souza.
She's a fun fighter, yeah.
I like her a lot.
Oh, I didn't have the heart to tell her. She said that after she won, she was going to go to Disneyland. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
what ride? It's like Harry Potter. It's like, ooh, that's Universal. I don't want to break your heart, though.
She's probably even going to, because she was fought in Vegas. which means you probably went to California. They don't even have Universal.
Yeah, they do.
I guess, but
well, it's closed. It's closed. Yeah, it hasn't opened up yet. I had a season pass to Universal. I don't get to use it twice.
Shocking.
And then the libs, in the libs, plandemic messed up my season pass. Thanks, libs.
Yep. You know. That's what happens.
Don't worry, I listen to Donna Cerrone. Once the election happens, all the theme parks open back up again. We're good.
Yeah. It's coming
Pretty sure Tito Ortiz just said that too.
Yeah. Great minds think alike. I was going to throw this one up there.
Did Paulo from Austin Kaiser? Did Paulo Costa lose his man card after being dry humped by Adesanya after his win? Now we'll use this as a way to talk about Paulo Costa in general. I was talking with some of the Brazilian media here, Gui, and they said that Paulo Costa was out, like, compared to the current UFC Brazilian champions like Figueiredo and Amanda Nunes and even Jessica Andrade before she lost her title and a lot of other popular Brazilian fighters, that they really got behind Paulo Costa, mostly because it was he lived down there. And it was the same belt that Anderson had for so many years. So they really got behind Paulo. And then when he lost, they kind of turned on him, mostly because of how he lost, his game plan, and his reaction to it. Is this true? And how is he viewed now in Brazil since his loss?
Yeah, if he wanted the belt, he would have been like instantly the most popular fighter in Brazil, and most popular champion since Anderson Silva, probably. Wow. He was a big name. I have a lot of friends that has YouTube channels, and they always say that if you do a video with Paulo Costa, it goes viral. It does a lot better than any other fighter you can talk about. And of course, he's a big fan of our president, which I don't want to even say his name, and so. So he has a lot of haters too because of that. So before the fight, he was doing a lot of jokes on social media, and of course that came back at him after the loss and after what Izzy did to him after the win. So he has a lot of haters. So of course he's gonna suffer a lot online. I mean, he brought that to himself. It's all the build up, no? He can complain about that.
In Brazil, is Costa seen as like how Colby Covington is seen over here? As just a character who just really embraced the idea of basing his identity on who the president is?
Not that much, because Colby talks about Trump in every interview he does. And that's not the case with Costa. Costa doesn't talk about it unless you ask him about it. So,
okay. But as far as
they have similar views, but they don't act the same in the media. No.
Okay. But it's
interesting
for the Brazilian president. Costa was that kind of his first like very public endorsement of an MMA fighter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was even before he was a president. He was already talking about Bolsonaro. So.
Wow.
Why Costa in general? Like, why him? And because I know other Brazilian fighters have supported your president. Why Costa? Why was he the one, kind of the first guy? Do you know?
I think because he was on the Bolsonaro hype train way before the others.
Okay.
On social media, so they just became friends. They talk all the time. Bolsonaro is a big MMA fan. He's always meeting fighters, so it's MMA, 100% MMA.
I heard that on similar to here, like our president likes very specific TV stations, and he'll talk negatively towards other TV stations, and it's in similar to Brazil, obviously. But from what I've heard in Brazil, he dislikes certain outlets so much, or like, and vice versa, that if, say, Paulo had gotten a call from your president while on air, while he was being interviewed on one of the stations that your president did not like, they would have to cut the feed, or they would have to cut that out of the broadcast. Is that true?
that's a chance, because UFC as on Globo in Brazil, it's not Globo is Combate, because it's owned by Globo. So I don't know how they would act if something like that happens. But and Bolsonaro doesn't like Globo at all. He doesn't like people that are critics of him. So if you're talking about facts. go. And he only likes the TV stations that ignore facts and does just so okay, he's incredible and things like that. So since UFC is on Global, I don't know how they would handle that.
That's interesting. Well,
sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds. I don't know if TV stations would cut Colby Covington's. If anything, they would want that to be on the TV because that would increase views. I don't know if they would cut the feed in the middle of a call, but I digress. Thank you for the question. That was a good question. Yeah. Oh, before we go to the next one, Guillermo, did you have a problem with Israel Adesanya's celebration?
I think it wasn't necessary, but I don't have a problem because I think it was I think Paulo Costa just moved the line so much so that what Izzy did is not something out of this world, you know?
Right. Casey?
Oh, if he had done that to, say, Kelvin or Anderson Silva or Derek Brunson, it would have been like, hey, man, that's out of line. But I think with the trash talk that Costa brought to that fight, it made sense. So it didn't come out of nowhere. It didn't come out of nowhere. It was directed at, well, you saw what it was directed at. But there was a reason he did. It wasn't just a celebration for the celebration's sake.
Yeah. Costa spent tweeting memes with Easy on a female body, or a lot of jokes on that sense. So you can't complain when he does stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, then all the fighters, like the ESPN analysts that we interviewed at the media day, like Dan Hardy is very – I'm sure you've both talked to Dan Hardy enough time. He's very much traditional martial arts. It's like he's all about respect and honor and all that. And even he's like, I didn't like it, but I get it. Paulo Costa pushed him to a certain edge, and he didn't have it. He's like, I wouldn't – the general consensus was I wouldn't have done it, but I get why Izzy did it, so I don't hold it against him. So I when I saw it, I was like, I didn't really think about it. And then I was like, well, that's probably not a good look for the sport. But then I thought about it more, and I was like, well, I mean, Paulo Costa definitely did himself any favors. So probably had it coming.
And that was one of the biggest topics of the week in Brazil.
Really?
Man, that's got to annoy Costa. Sorry.
And that was one of the biggest topics here all week. A lot of jokes, a lot of memes. Never stopped.
Such is life.
Yeah.
So, and then if Cannonier wins, it's going to be the exact opposite, because Izzy and Cannonier really like each other. So I think it's going to be more like friendly banter back and forth between the two.
I'll trade crystals afterwards.
If he wins. Still got to get through Robert Whittaker, which is no easy task. Anyway, what is our next question?
Real quick about Costa, one more thing is like, just over everyone, is there a possible way that fight could have gone worse? I was literally trying to name a way that fight could have gone worse, other than Costa straight up crying in the cage.
That was worse than Aldo and Conor. Way worse.
The only way it could have been worse is if when he clipped him with I think it was the left hook, and then when Paulo Costa went like face down and Izzy's punching him. Imagine if Izzy, the white belt, just snatched up his neck and rear naked choked him.
Yeah.
If Izzy, after the white belt versus black belt arguments all week, if Izzy just choked him, tapped him out, that would be worst case scenario for Paulo Costa, because he's the one that brought in all the submission talk. But didn't go as well. Izzy basically pitched a perfect game. And Paulo didn't, like, when he was throwing, because I rewatched it, like, I think once or twice, and he cornered him twice, Paulo. And instead of, like, blitzing in, he threw a kick. And Izzy just caught it or, like, moved out of the way. I'm like, that was dumb. Like, you clearly had him for, like, a split second, then you let him get away. Anyway.
Izzy was so good to get – when Izzy got against the cage, I was like, oh, here's Costa's time to shine. And then, whoop, Izzy's gone. I'm like, all right, man. Never mind.
Yeah, because Paulo threw, a spinning kick instead of rushing in. Anyway.
You didn't want to get countered.
From John Malkin on Twitter. Do you guys see any advantage to using Gaethje's old kamikaze style versus new style in his up-and-coming fight against Habib? I personally do because I think it would tire Habib out, and I think Justin would be dangerous off scramble. So, Casey, I'll start with you. You've watched Justin Gaethje for years. You've obviously watched Habib for years. If you're Justin Gaethje's coach, Trevor Whitman, are you trying to keep him focused like usual in these last few fights where he's picked apart his opponents en route to a TKO or KO win? Or do you just let him be himself? Or I shouldn't say let him be himself. Or do you go for a more aggressive approach as we've seen him find success pre-UFC?
No, I disagree with the suggestion that Gaethje just go crazy, because if he goes crazy, he will get taken down. And yeah, they said, of course, Justin's going to be dangerous off the scrambles, but that burns a lot of energy. Habib most famously did this against Abel Trujillo, where I think he got like, I don't know, 40 takedowns or something. But the key about 40 takedowns, that means...
It was like 21 or 22.
It was insane. But what that means is, though, he got taken down 20 times, but Habib only really needed one takedown around. He could have kept it down, but he wanted to tire him out. He wanted to punish him. So that's why he took him down, let him back up, take him out. And that just burns so much energy for the guy getting up, and it just kills your mentality, your confidence. So if Gaethje went in there kamikaze style, he's too good. He'll be ready for that, and he'll take him down. And I mean, Justin's still a human. He's still gonna get tired. He still needs confidence in that fight. So it's gonna be a very strategic, smart Gaethje in there. I don't know who wins, but the kamikaze style will not work against Habib, in my opinion.
Gee, are you in agreement?
Yeah, I agree. I think the smart Gaethje would win against Eddie and Dustin. I mean,
I agree.
Too good. It's way too good. So I'm not saying he's going to beat Habib, but yeah, it's a great fight. But he has all the tools and fighting smart, you know.
This fight is so intriguing. Most everyone I've talked, like the ESPN analysts and everything, all seem to agree that this is the toughest fight that Habib could possibly have. And I know everyone wanted to see the Tony Ferguson fight, which of course I wanted to see, still want to see, mostly because that there was all the history and the records and all that stuff. But I always kind of thought in the back of my head Justin Gaethje would just be a tougher fight just because he presented more problems for Habib rather than Tony Ferguson. And Habib seemed more like top pressure versus a bottom fighter, and I just liked that matchup. But Habib is – I mean, Justin Gaethje is basically a buzzsaw with knives at the end of it with an unlimited with unlimited gas tank, so – super interested in that fight, but that's still a ways away to even start thinking about that fight.
Do you have to remind yourself not to get too excited yet about that fight?
Yes, I do. There's a fight that we're not even going to talk about. That's the weekend before that I haven't even let myself get excited for.
I'm going to talk about it.
No, we're not going to talk about it.
Nope, some mystery fight.
When the poster for the main event of UFC Fight Island 6 got released, so many people were tagging me in and be like, Jose, it's real. Jose, it's happening. I'm like, shut up. Everyone shut up and go lock yourself in the room and stop talking about it. Get all your says and your voodoo dolls, wrap them in bubble tape, and hopefully they make it.
Do you think it's going to be a COVID, weight miss, injury? What do you think it's going to be?
Oh, my. For this UFC Fight Island 6?
Yeah.
Something even freakier. Like he fell asleep in the bathtub and got second degree burns or something weird, or like he locked himself in his hotel room and can't get out or something bizarre. That's how bizarre the situation is going to be.
I'm thinking he's taking a walk on the beach and then Dana White riding a jet ski flies over a dock and hits him. it'll be some kind of jet ski accident.
Hey, man. When I was on the beach yesterday, Yusef Zalal and Brandon and Royvel were trying to get shakedown for like $1,000 for like, I don't know if it was $1,000. It might have been for like damaging the jet ski. They were like, we didn't damage the jet ski. They were like trying to argue him back. Anyway, what was that question that popped up, Casey?
Here we go. New question.
From Kuningas again, any opinion about Amir Khani, who is finally getting more visibility against veteran Barbosa, the only finish in the UFC? I can't see the bottom of it because it's cut off in the UFC. And, oh, boy, still no UFC event in Finland. You think he can finish with two N's like in Finland? I get it, Barbosa. Well, there's not going to be a UFC Finland for quite a while. Just like there's not going to be – unfortunately, there's like Bellator is holding – not unfortunately, I should say. Good on France. Bellator is holding the first ever major promotion event for a major promotion in France. And I know the UFC would love to break ground there, but unfortunately the pandemic happening right now, they're basically relegated to Yaz Island or Las Vegas at the moment. But I imagine when the pandemic is cleared – France would have to be near the top of the list, the place they want to go. And if Amir Khani keeps winning, then sure, I'm sure they'll go to Finland. But Guilherme, he's, of course, Makwan Amir Khani is facing one of your fellow Brazilians, Edson Barbosa. Talk about Brazilian legend. I feel like he's been fighting forever. I mean, yeah. We were just talking about, what, UFC 146 the other day, Casey, that all-heavyweight card. Mm-hmm. And the best fight of that night was Jamie Varner and Edson Barbosa, where Jamie Varner came back and kind of halted the hype train for Edson Barbosa very momentarily. But, Guilherme, what do you think of Edson Barbosa and Makwan Amir Khani at UFC Fight Island 5?
That's such a fantastic matchup. I love this matchup. I just got off the phone with Barbosa 3 hours ago and interviewed with him. It's just... I can't wait for this one. It's such a complete clash of styles. I'm curious to see if I'm going to can take Barbosa down. And getting close to him is not easy with all the leg kicks and knees, and his striking phenomenal. So yeah, I think he can finish Barbosa if he can take the fight to the ground. It's not an easy task, but he was taken down before by great wrestlers. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. I'll say it's going to happen, but yeah, I can't wait for this one. This matchup's so intriguing.
How does Brazil view Edson Barbosa?
The original matchup. It was good, but...
What was the original matchup? Oh, so Barbosa and...
Youssef.
Yes. Youssef, that's right. That's a good fight, too. I like both those fights.
Yeah.
I would say the winner should just... whoever wins this, they should just book them. Against Sadiq Youssef. How does Brazil view Edson Barbosa? Is he popular down there?
Not that much. You know, people know him because all of his highlight reels is incredible, but he's not that popular.
He's been living in the States for a long
time. We have a lot of Brazilian fighters in the UFC. It's hard to stand out, you know? Right. I think there are like 100 Brazilian fighters in the UFC. There's a lot of people. Becoming a star in Brazil is not easy. If you're not a champion, yeah. And sure. Even if you're a champion, it's not easy to become a real star.
Yeah, you see Figueiredo and all that stuff. What do you say, Casey?
To be a Brazilian star, do these Brazilian fighters, if they're not champs, do they need to train and live in Brazil? It just helps. Yeah. So I was thinking, would Costa be the same star if he trained at ATT or something? I just don't think so.
Yeah, it's hard to say, but I don't think so, because his ties to Brazil are so strong that people tend to like him more than if he just live in the U.S. Because we have a lot of talented fighters living in the U.S., but they don't get – of course, Costa is a complete package. He has crazy knockouts. He's good looking. He looks like a Brazilian Hulk. But living in Brazil, I think definitely helps him.
Costa is good looking.
Is that why Jose Aldo is so revered down in Brazil? Because I heard it took him forever to even move out of his hometown, his home village or town or whatever. I'm not quite sure what it was, but he lived there for a long time, right?
Yeah. He lived in Rio for a long time, but he used to live in a neighborhood that's it's not great. He couldn't afford to live in a better place, but he just didn't care, you know. He moved to a good place next to the gym a few years ago, but before that, he was living in an apartment he was a UFC champion. He could afford something bit better, but he just didn't care. You know, he just took the subway to get to the gym to train and back.
Oh, wow. You love to see it. Anyway, back to the original question. Casey, what do you like? Do you like Amir Khani versus Barbosa?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I think this is a great matchup. I heavily favor Barbosa in this match. I thought Barbosa beat Dan Ige. I thought it was a very competitive fight. I don't think it was a quote unquote robbery, but I did think Barboza won that fight. And yeah, so I think Barboza's ranking right now, his UFC ranking, isn't accurate. I think he should be I think, what is Dan Ige? He's like top 10 at least.
Yeah.
But whatever. I think Barboza is potentially a top 5 featherweight. And I think this is going to be a bit of a showcase fight for Barboza. And I love Amir Khané, and I'm a big fan of him. I just don't think he has the tools to beat Barboza. But we will see.
I think it's going to be just a combination of the Edson Barboza Dan Hooker fight in Milwaukee. I was at that fight when Edson Barboza just pieced up Dan Hooker in one of the most uncomfortable fights I've seen in a long time. Like, Dan Hooker's body basically gave out before his mind gave out. And then remembering Shane Burgos' beat down of Amir Khané in Madison Square Garden, where it was like the same thing, where Amir Khané just kept fighting and until his body just stopped working because Shane Burgos just put it on him. So just with those two thought fights fresh in my mind, I heavily favor Barboza. But I love this fight.
Amir Khané also get the takedown is going to be a tough one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Plus, Amir Khané still has the best Tapology photo out there.
Yeah.
And Barboza, and also another advantage for Barboza, he will be fighting in the big octagon. And for a fighter like Barboza he's best at kicking range. He needs some distance. So I think another thing that's going to be to his advantage. So
I can't wait to hear leg kicks inside an empty arena. Right. It's going to be brutal. Anyway, thank you for another question, Keningus.
Let's go straight to the main event.
Just my two cents, Jess writes. Moraes versus Sanhagen with a bunch of exclamations, all that and everything.
Sanhagen?
What do you guys think? Sanhagen? Moraes versus Sanhagen? Guy, what do you think of the main event? Obviously another Brazilian in the main event for you. Corey Sanhagen, I think, was not the first choice a lot of us had in mind for a possible Marlon Moraes matchup. I think we were hoping for either, because honestly, he could fight Jan, Peter Jan. He already signed a contract already to fight him in Kazakhstan. He beat Jose Aldo, who got the title shot against Jan. He's still number one, but if he didn't get that, I was hoping for Cody Garbrandt. I know he wanted Dominic Cruz. I don't think he'd ever fight Frankie Edgar because they were teammates for a long time, unless they were the champion. But regardless, I still love this fight. But what do you make of the main event between Marlon Moraes and Corey Sanhagen?
Yeah, it's a great fight. If you ignore the other
yeah,
a great fight, but I was so confused by this choice. So I think it's a great fight. I would favor Marlon on it, but it's so weird because he's coming off a win over Jose Aldo. He has a brutal win over the last guy that Cody just fought, who lost to. Mm-hmm. So MMA math, I mean, of course, it doesn't work. It doesn't exist, but it makes you wonder. It's so confusing. But it's a good fight, but it's not the direction I would go to.
Yeah, I think Marlon's just trying not to be the. And unfortunately, Leon Edwards is stuck in like that high ranking place, and no one wants to fight him. That makes sense. He doesn't want to fight down. I think Marlon might want to just avoid that situation. And
yeah, just,
you can't argue with wins. Yeah. You can't argue with wins and losses.
Yeah. Just fight whoever they put in front of him. So just to actually make money, that's it.
And what is Corey saying?
If Marlon beat Jose Aldo and didn't get a title shot, just keep making money and fighting. And since one day they're going to give you a title shot or not.
And if he wins and Aljamain Sterling beats Peter Yan, I mean, the rematch has to happen, considering Marlon Moraes head kicked Aljamain Sterling into the next level. Like, he did the dab when he fell down.
They're fighting Saturday, and Peter Young and Aljamain Sterling doesn't even have a date yet. So who knows how long he's gonna have to wait until that fight happens, and then he gets his title shot. So it's so confusing. Maybe Marlon's gonna have to fight one time. Let's say he wins this fight, he's gonna have to fight again before getting a title shot.
Yeah. I have a feeling we might be back in Fight Island January or February. It might be something similar to how, like, Israel Adesanya and Paulo Costa was late September, and then it went into late October. I think there's a pay-per-view the end of January. I wouldn't be surprised if they kicked off the next Fight Island thing then. But again, this is just all me. Yeah. So this just makes sense, I think.
And, Dominic Cruz on the same card.
Yeah.
Something is there. Their plan B.
I really want Dominic Cruz and Frankie Edgar, though, selfishly.
Yeah. It's a good one.
But it is. And I think Marlon should definitely fight on the undercard of Aljamain and Peter Yan, especially if that's on Fight Island. I don't know who he fights, but I think they would have to. They should definitely put him on the same card. Unfortunately, Cody Garbrandt's dropping down to flyweight, and who knows where Cruz and Frankie are right now. Casey, your thoughts on the main event? Corey Sandhagen, former co-host of the A-side.
I know. That's why I feel bad saying this, because I think Marais is going to put a pretty heavy whooping on Sandhagen. Unfortunately, I think Marais, when he fights at his potential, I think he's the best bantamweight in the world. I honestly feel that way. But what I like about this fight a lot is, and we're taking out Cejudo, in the running, because he's retired. But I think Marais is the best bantamweight in the world. I think this is a risky but a smart fight for Marais. He needs to stay active. He needs to keep his name out there. He can't become Leon Edwards and just kind of, unfortunately. I mean, I understand what Leon's doing, but Marais, he just can't just sit and wait for that title shot to come, even though he deserves it. He literally had a signed contract to fight Yan already. And for some reason, that contract was ripped up, even though I don't get it. But more importantly, I think this fight's important for Marais because this is a 5-rounder, and he needs that 5-round experience. And hopefully, if he doesn't beat Corey within the first 3 rounds, he can really test his cardio in the championship rounds, because we saw what happened in the Cejudo fight, and obviously Marais just didn't have that championship level experience. And he just kind of quote unquote blew his load, I'm sorry, go Gui.
Yeah, I think he just had one 5-round fight in UFC before that. It was the Rafael Sanson fight.
That went only one round, right?
World Series of Fighting days as well, right?
I'm sorry?
In the World Series of Fighting, he was booked for a lot of title fights there. Yeah. He was a champion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, but I would say a championship fight at a higher level competition.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And I think he finished him within the first 2 rounds too. So he didn't have a chance to go into the championship round. So maybe with Sandhagen, it will give him that opportunity. So, hey, man, if Sandhagen wins, good for him, man. I love to be wrong.
I'm looking through his record right now. He's fought Josh Redinghouse all 5 rounds at World Series of Fighting 9. And that is his – and then he fought Josh Hill at World Series of Fighting 18 all 5 rounds. And those are the only two fights on his record to get past the 3rd round. He has a lot of 3-round wins and a lot of 1- and 2-round wins. But, yeah, only two complete 5-round fights under his belt, both under the World Series of Fighting banner.
And
one of them was in Edmonton, Canada.
Yeah. And he has trained for a Sensei that was a 5-round fight, but he finished the fight in the 1st round. So
Just a minute.
Yeah, it's a minute. Cool.
And then looking at the bantamweight rankings, like Peter Yan's champ, and then Marlon's 1, and then Marlon has a win over Aljamain, who's number 2, who's probably going to fight Peter Yan. Cody Garbrandt at 3 is going to flyweight. He's fighting Corey Sandhagen, who's number 4. Frank Yeager, his former teammate, probably not going to fight him. Pedro Munhoz at 6, just lost to Frank Yeager. Number 7, Jose Aldo, Marlon already beat him. Number 8, Jimmy Rivera, he head kicked him. Number 9, I guess Rafael Sanson, they're 1-1, correct? But does anyone want to see the trilogy fight in 2021 or 2020? And then number 10, Dominic Cruz. So, I would love to see him fight Dominic Cruz or Frank Yeager. I don't think he's going to fight Frank Yeager, and I imagine Frankie and Dominic Cruz will fight. Then who's left? Rob Font at 11?
Maybe just run it back with Aldo.
I like that.
Oh, don't tease me. I would love that. Or if Uriah Faber is floating around there. But who knows? There's a lot of fights. No, does anyone want to see that fight? Not really.
But I think what you kind of glossed over real quick was you said Sterling is supposed to fight Jan. So for some reason, that fight isn't official. And I think there's a reason for that. I think that reason is this Saturday night. I don't know why. If Marais just smokes Corey, maybe the UFC does it. Maybe for some reason.
It wouldn't shock me.
To me, it just sounds personal now. It sounds like a personal just beef that behind the scenes with Sterling and the UFC. This is all speculation because it just doesn't make sense why that fight is not booked. But the only reason that fight could not be booked is because maybe they're waiting to see what happens Saturday. That's my only reason.
Maybe. That could be. It might be a stretch. I know Aljamain just moved to Las Vegas to train, so I know he's gearing up for something.
Why is that fight not official?
Can Peter enter the U.S. or he would have to fight him on Fight Island again?
They would just want him on Fight Island. Would want to put him on Fight Island.
Yeah, because if he can't fight in the U.S., they just can't announce this fight because there are no events booked for Fight Island again. You know, we don't know when they're going to go back to Abu Dhabi. So they just can't announce it yet.
And Aljamain Sterling tweeted something about, like, I think it was when the Gilbert Burns-Usman fight was, like, officially ixnayed for December 12th. Aljamain Sterling tweeted, like, hey, I'm ready. Let's fight on December 12th. And Peter Yan responded saying, the UFC has something else planned. The holdup isn't on my end. I'm just waiting for the contract.
Yeah.
Or something. It was something along those lines. But he said the holdup is not on his end. So from what I gather, Peter Yan is still getting ready for Aljamain Sterling too. Anyway. It's a lot of he shed, she shed. Thank you, Just My Two Cents, for the question. Costa versus Brunson, who would win? Question? Who would win? Thank you for the live stream. You're welcome, Antonio Guapo. Derek Brunson has been calling out Paulo Costa relentlessly on social media. Don't hate the fight. I personally would really like to see Kelvin Gastelum and Paulo Costa fight. I just think that fight is an awesome fight, but Derek Brunson's an awesome fight too. There's a lot of fun fights in middleweight right now. It seems to be one of the few divisions that is moving along. But Guillermo, do you like Paulo Costa versus Derek Brunson, and who would you favor in that fight?
Yeah, I think that would be the best option for Costa right now, unless they book him with Devin Till. That would be better. I think that's what Paulo Costa's team is pushing for, Devin Till. But yeah, I would love that fight. If Till is available, that's the
Darren fight. Till's matched up with Jack Hermanson, I believe, December 5th.
Yeah.
I would have to believe. Izzy already wants Jared Cannonier. I don't know who the winner of Till Hermanson. I would not be surprised if they just waited for the winner of Izzy and Cannonier, because at that point, Jack Hermanson has beaten everyone not named Jared Cannonier, put in front of him most recently, and Darren Till is 1-1 at middleweight currently. So if he beats Jack Hermanson, I think he would probably wait for Izzy too. Or they would even bump Jared Cannonier for Darren Till. Who knows? But middleweight is fun. I personally think Paulo versus maybe the loser of Cannonier Whitaker, or the loser of Till Hermanson, or just Kelvin Gastelum, or Derek Brunson. Look, everyone in the top 10. I'll see Paulo Costa fight. I'm in for it. Casey, what do you think?
Oh, I absolutely love this fight. I want to see Brunson Costa. It makes sense. These are two fighters who are not going to be rematching Izzy anytime soon, because both of them got their asses handed to them by Izzy. So it's going to take a while for them to build up to a rematch versus Izzy. So this is great, I think, because I don't want to put Costa against someone like Till or Hermanson, because those are all fresh matchups for Izzy. So Brunson has been talking all sorts of just, you know, he's a steroid cheat, all that stuff for years now, I feel like.
Yeah.
So, this fight's perfect. And I think stylistically, it's a great fight for both of them. And I think it's an exciting fight. And you got to give Brunson something big. He just had a main event knockout victory over Edmund Shabazian. So Brunson's earned this fight too. So, I love it. I hope it gets booked.
Yeah.
And I think the wild card in this whole scenario is Chris Weidman, because he might not be close to a title shot, but he's still a big name.
Oh, Can we talk about that Chris
Weidman? Kelvin Gastelum too.
Can we talk about that Chris Weidman tweet? Do we want to talk about that? The tweet about using MMA math. No, yeah. That was I was like, man, Chris, I like you, dude, but oh boy.
It was not a good week. It was not a good 7 days for MMA Twitter and the middleweight division, I'll tell you that much. Across the entire top 15.
Oh boy. All right.
Eve's casual fan, Eve casual hardcore fan. Is this just a casual Eve Edwards fan? I hope so. Since Ferguson versus Poirier isn't happening, is El Cucuy versus Charles DuBronx the fight to make? I mean, I like it. I doubt Tony Ferguson takes it, but I really like it.
I think they are going to do Ferguson and Chandler, probably. But I would love this fight. Ferguson and Charles Oliveira. I've been talking about this fight for a long time. Imagine those two guys around. It would be insane.
Just a mashup of bodies tangled up in the ground. Like huge as that. You're like, I don't know who's who.
Yeah.
I love that. I like any of these.
Just book it for Chael Sonnen's submission event.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. That's very much, man, that opens up like the whole beat, like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu versus like 10th Planet and all that stuff. You're going to, oh my God, that's going to be chaotic for sure. As you know, Jiu-Jitsu is very culty when it comes to 10th Planet versus BJJ. Yeah. As Casey rolls his eyes.
Yeah. I think you could hear my eye roll. but DuBronx, like every weight class has that fighter that's incredibly good, probably better than we even know he is, but yet no one wants to fight him. I think DuBronx, like he's almost like Leon Edwards. Like you don't want to fight Leon Edwards because you know he's that good, but but the fans don't really recognize it. And I think like DuBronx is that guy, and that's why he's so hard to book.
He's so dangerous, and he's not going to do anything for you, even if you win.
Unfortunate.
100%.
Yeah. And I mentioned this before.
You got guys like Arnold Allen and like Josh Emmett fall into that category, or like Benil Dariush and like Islam Makhachev. Or Islam maybe not, because he has the Habib factor. And then I honestly thought Jan Blachowicz was in that same boat for a long time. And now he's the champion. Yeah. Like he just worked his way up. Charles Oliveira, I think, and Neil Magny at welterweight is the same way. Like they're just so good and they don't do nothing for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I said, and Charles DuBronx, like, what is it? He's not even 30 yet, right? He's like in his upper 20s by now, right? Something like that. But he's been in the UFC since his early 20s, and he has like 20 something wins. Like, I think if he continues even halfway his winning streak he has now, like, he's gonna have the most wins ever in the UFC, and at least the most submission wins.
Him or Neil Magny.
Yeah, like it's
him or Neil Magny.
It's really weird how that happens.
Charles gonna turn 31. In 10 days.
So 31. Yeah. So he's just now hitting his prime.
10 days?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like, dude, if you told me Charles Oliveira next year or 2 years from now is a lightweight champ, I'll be like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
Charles Oliveira is let's see, July, August, September, October. He's 4 months younger than Israel Adesanya. Charles Oliveira, Izzy turned 31 in July. Charles Oliveira is turning 31 and like right around the corner. That's unreal. Unreal.
So, anyway, yes.
Thank you for the question, Eve Edwards fan.
It is the fight to make, but I doubt it will happen.
Any fight in the top 10 at lightweight, I'm a fan of.
Yeah. Yeah. Just make it happen.
I think Brad Riddell is going to be one of those fighters that no one's going to want to fight soon, too.
All right, got an Anthony Pettis fan coming here. Here we go. Same thing.
Eve, casual hardcore fan. What's the better fight to make at 170? Anthony Pettis versus Carlos Condit. Anthony Pettis versus Robbie Lawler. I don't really care about either of them. I mean, I'll watch either of them. I don't really care for either of them. I want to see Anthony Pettis at lightweight, honestly.
Yeah.
But Carlos Condit is huge compared to Anthony Pettis, I think. Isn't Carlos Condit one of the taller welterweights, right?
Yeah.
He's 6'1", 6'2".
Yeah, I got to stand next to Carlos when actually I watched him train for his fight against Court McGee, And watching Carlos Condit hit the pads, if you ever get a chance, oh my goodness, he is just, it is beautiful watching him just hit pads.
It also helps that him and Brandon Gibson's like wavelengths are like the same, so like they know exactly, like they've been training for so much. Like I was chatting with Brandon for a bit before he left, and he's like, he was talking about the training camp stuff, and he was awesome. But Gee, which fight do you like better, Pettis Condit or Pettis Lawler? Or do you want to see Anthony Pettis versus Anderson Silva?
No, wait. I would just like to back to 155. I don't see a reason why he should stay at 170.
I thought Anthony Pettis would be a really great opponent.
That's if he just doesn't want to go after a belt anymore. You know, just so I could wait, just stay at 170. But if he has those intentions to make a title run and an extra, so just... Okay, so go back to 155. And 170 is not gonna get any closer to the belt in that division.
I agree. I thought Pettis versus Chandler would be a good fight.
Yeah, that is a good fight. But like I said, any top 10 guys. was Pettis's only
Anthony Pettis is one of the greatest resumes in the history of MMA. If you just look at his like string of opponents he's fought.
Oh, level of competition? Oh yeah, it's insane. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's like it's unbelievable. Anyway, what are you saying, Casey?
So, at welterweight, Anthony Pettis beat Wonderboy Thompson, a fight that I thought he was losing till he obviously won.
Yeah.
That's not discrediting the victory. That's just, you know, it wasn't a full on just, you know, he didn't just dominate from end to end. He lost against Nate Diaz. Was Diego Ferreira, that was at 55, right? He went back down to 55. Right. Diego Ferreira whooped. Yes. Diego Ferreira, that's another one of those Charles the Bronx guys. Like, guys who are incredibly good, but no one wants to fight.
Yeah.
Did he get hurt? Or does he have a fight? Or is he fighting Dober?
Dober.
Like you said, Diego, you whoop up Anthony Pettis, and he kind of had to go backwards again and fight a guy like Dober. It's just, I mean, Dober's very good, obviously, but just name value-wise, clearly isn't Anthony Pettis.
Yeah.
So
he just can't ask for a top 10 because no one's gonna fight him.
Yeah. And then he whooped up on. He fought a competitive victory over Donald Cerrone at 170. So yeah, Anthony Pettis at welterweight, like this question should suggest. I don't think. You know what? These aren't Anthony Pettis versus Carlos at 170. If you want to do more of I don't want to say Legends League, but yeah, a little bit of Legends fight. It's just a fun fight that, you know, more of a video game fight. You just kind of, just have them fight. You know, it doesn't really mean very much fun for match. The rankings and stuff, but obviously it means a lot to those guys in terms of brain damage. But in terms of just fun, I don't, the Lawler fight, I guess it's just for Legends
Matt Brown
League.
Matt Brown versus Carlos Condit, Nick Diaz versus Robbie Lawler. Those are the fights I want to see.
Yeah, Nick Diaz,
100%.
And Condit too would be great too.
100%. Either rematch for Nick Diaz, I'm all in on.
Man, I've been wanting to see Nick Diaz Robbie Lawler rematch so long.
Literally, me and Esther would, when Esther worked there, we would talk about it, and we'd be like, "Why isn't this happening?" But it's never gonna happen. It will never happen.
Yeah.
Nick Diaz has that famous interview. He's like, "You think I like fighting? You think I want to get punched by Robbie Lawler?" So he's never going to do it. From Youssef Nazar. I've read this one. Given how disappointing your ice cream cannon choices are, have you redeemed yourself by trying Arabic ice cream on the island? If you haven't, please, please find the time to. You won't regret it. And then he coursed tagged Farah Hanoun, who you got to take Jose to Buza. I don't even know. I'm not even going to try to pronounce this. So I'll answer this in two parts. We can't go anywhere. We're stuck in these hotels. So I can't even go to like Yaz Mall or anything to find this mythical ice cream that people keep telling me about. If it was possible or if I had access to it, I would 100% get it. Also, he tagged Farah Hanoun of MMA Junkie. She's doing a lot of stuff for UFC Abu Dhabi over here. She is so good at basketball. If any of you have, if you guys know Farah, I don't think you would realize that.
Really?
There's a basketball court out there. She balls, man. She's nice. Like me and Oscar Willis of the Mac Life went out to shoot hoops. Oscar's the worst basketball player on the island. and I thought I was pretty good. No way, man. Farah was just like, she had like an Air Jordan shirt. She was like cross up, like just from the elbow. I was like, good God, she might be the best basketball player in the hotel. She's nice though. So shout out to Farrah for piecing me up on the basketball court. That's and awesome. She just does good work. She's been doing good work for USC Abu Dhabi all week.
Yeah, she's great. Gotta get her on the A side.
The hotel ice cream is not that bad. It's not anything special.
I don't think this is the same hotel you stayed at.
No. I mean, the restaurant you have lunch is not the same hotel you're staying, right? Which hotel you're staying? Which one?
Crown Plaza.
No, it's not the same.
Yeah. The hotel you stayed at is closed for like renovations or something. I'll figure it out. I gotta get ice cream.
Bridge. I've been told State Bridge,
it's closed. It's all, it has like scaffolding all over it. I don't know why.
You partied anyway. Too hard, Gwee. You ruined the hotel.
So Yufnef Nazar, I apologize. I can't get your Arabic ice cream. Anyway, is there another question we got?
Yeah,
okay, there's no John Jones, Israel Adesanya questions. I'm surprised.
You know, I saw. Yeah, there's lots of in the YouTube comments. We're gonna do rapid fire because we're about hitting an hour, so we're gonna make them all quick now.
Sure. Does what happened to Costa show why contenders need to have main event 5-round fights before they fight for the title? From at Kiwi MMANZ, Gee, should a contender have at least one 5-round main event under their belt before fighting for a title?
Yeah, I wouldn't hate that, but I don't think it applies. I don't think it's not an explanation why Costa lost. You know, he just lost in two rounds. It wasn't competitive. It doesn't mean he never fought 5 rounds before. What's the point? You know, he just lost. It wasn't a thing. He just went to 5 rounds and then he lost. He got tired. It wasn't the case. So I don't think it applies. I wouldn't hate that. I like contenders being inside in fighting 5-round fights, but I think that's not the case why Costa lost.
I agree. I think in a perfect scenario, they do get at least one 5-round main event under the belt, but I don't think any of us would argue that Paulo Costa didn't deserve his number one contender spot. He never had a 5-round.
If Yoel equals 5 rounds.
Yeah. Going 3 rounds with Yoel Romero is going 20 rounds with a normal human being. Anyway, at the seaside, who will have a quicker comeback, Dominic Reyes or Paulo Costa? Wow, interesting question. I'm going to say Paulo Costa because I think Dominic Reyes' nose was shattered, so he might be out for a little bit. I don't know what the damage was on him. Gee, who do you think comes back first?
Yeah, I agree with Costa. I'll say Costa.
Casey?
I never thought of this, but man, all that talk about Costa going to 205, man, can you imagine Reyes Costa at 205? Like if Costa goes up?
On fight.
I think it's interesting. As far as successful comeback, actually, I think Reyes. Maybe Costa might.
Yeah, successful comeback, Reyes. I think Costa will come back sooner just because I think Reyes took a lot of damage to the face.
Yeah.
And
the ribs. Ooh, didn't even think about that.
Yeah. I think Costa took the most damage confidence wise.
His ego.
Yeah. Yes. I think he got like, that's a, yeah, he got like major, yeah, that's a, he got hit hard.
So I think he's going to want to. Quick turnaround. He's not going to waste any time.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, let me go through the comments real quick.
Bring back Pizza Carol, the Irish one. Listen, I would love to have Pizza Carol back on.
I love Pizza Carol.
I have never heard that before in my life. That's the funniest thing I've ever seen in the YouTube comments. Well done, Nevro. Well done. You win this. You win this episode of the A-side for the best comment in the history of the A-side.
Let me find one more.
Anymore? We should have ended with that one.
Yeah. You know, hey, we're at an hour. We can call it a day.
We're at an hour. So you guys know the drill. You can talk about, plug, say whatever you want. Casey, I'll start with you so Guillermo can collect his thoughts after that hilarious comment.
Thanks everyone for watching. Wear a mask out there. We're in a pandemic. I want this pandemic to end. And if we don't wear a mask, it will never end. And I want to be able to go to concerts and stage dive and do stupid crap. So be smart out there, people.
Relax, Kate. The elections are coming, so relax. It's almost over. Shout out to Pizza Carol.
Anything you want to say?
Shout out to Pizza Carol. Yeah. And thank you all for watching. It was a pleasure coming back to AA side. Can't wait to come back again. Keep killing in Abu Dhabi, Jose.
I will keep trying to keep kill it in Abu Dhabi. It's been a grind, but I enjoyed it. And I'll say the beef between Israel Adesanya and John Jones has been kind of disappointing. I never like to see race, religion, or family brought into beef. And they brought all three in. And you know I like watching Israel Adesanya fight, and I think John Jones is the greatest fighter walking planet Earth right now, and it just disappointed me all across the board. I get it. They don't like each other. Still didn't like the direction the trash talk came, but that's just my opinion. I'm sure people eat it up, and it's going to sell a whole bunch of pay-per-views, but bummed me out. It just bummed me out. But with that, we'll be back on the A-side next week. Hopefully, normal time next week. We have a big media day tomorrow, so stay locked in on our YouTube channel. We're going to have the main card, a bunch of the prelim fighters. I think Mike Chiesa, Paul Felder, Dan Hardy is also going to be there. And, of course, we have the official weigh-ins on Friday before UFC Fight Island 5, Moraes versus Sanhagen. And, of course, find all of Guy's excellent content on MMAfighting.com. We just had an episode of Between the Links come out today. Go watch that. Who was it? It was between AK and Brian Kelleher.
Kelleher. And AK brings some serious heat. He brings some heat. Yeah. You watch that episode.
It's good. Apparently he rapped, so you don't want to miss that. But if this is Jose, that's the tallest man in Brazil, Guilherme Cruz. That's Casey Lydon. Find this stuff on YouTube, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, all that. We're out.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.